Our scripture comes today from Luke chapter 2, beginning with verse 1. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And everyone went to his own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Well, hello, Christ Church, and all of our friends joining us today. I'm so glad you're with us for online worship. If you're on Facebook or the website, say hello to other friends in the chat. If you have prayer requests or a praise report, send them to us. If you want to follow along with my outline, you can do so on the website or the Christ Church app. So, how are you doing today? Are you experiencing the joy of the Lord this Christmas season? You know, there are multiple things that do compete for our attention, and so many of them are good and enjoyable, but sometimes it can all become too much. May we have wisdom and discernment from the Holy Spirit to know what to say yes to and what things we might need to say no to this year. I pray that you experience peace and joy in the midst of this sometimes busy and bustling season. Amen? Amen. Throughout this Advent season, we are seeking to witness Jesus' majesty, to see again His glory. There is no one quite like Jesus. The prophet Isaiah lived some 700 years before the time of Christ and wrote during a time of hardship for the people of God. They were being threatened by outside forces, the Assyrians and the Babylonians, while dealing with the struggle of sin and unrighteousness as a people on the inside. And yet Isaiah the prophet spoke of a coming child in Isaiah 9:6. For unto us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Wow! What an amazing description. Who in the world might be able to embody, represent, exemplify each of these titles? Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. There is both humanity and divinity spoken of here. The prophet continues in Isaiah 9:7, of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. This was an amazing description of someone who would come representing humanity and divinity to establish an everlasting kingdom of justice and righteousness and peace. Does not the world continue to cry out for these attributes in our communities, our nations, our lives? Who can bring them? Who is this child Isaiah spoke of long ago? Well, our gospel declares that Jesus is the one who brought these attributes to us, establishing His everlasting kingdom through His life, death, and resurrection. What an amazing thing God has done. Isaiah said way back then, the zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. You know, believers throughout the centuries marvel at the sovereignty of God and how His salvation story has unfolded in human history. Over a period of some 1,500 years, God's plan was made known through various persons as they wrote, inspired by the Holy Spirit. Isaiah's prophecy about a coming son, written 700 years before Jesus' birth, seems astonishing at first, but makes sense in light of his birth, life, death, and resurrection. We can take great comfort in the grace, mercy, and sovereignty of God in our lives too. The Lord of the universe has indicated that we are the objects of his love, compassion, and salvation plan. When life is difficult and we find ourselves wondering if God really does care for us, we can look at the salvation story that is woven throughout the scriptures and see the handiwork of God, our loving and living God, at work. And at the heart of the Christmas story is Mary and Joseph, who continued to trust God as they lived out their faith in the midst of tremendous challenges. You could post challenges in the chat. 2 weeks ago, we saw that Mary chose to trust God in the midst of her uncertainty and questions. When the angel Gabriel first appeared, she was frightened, as anyone might be. As he began to share with her the good news of God's salvation plan centered around the birth of Jesus, she marveled, but she also had questions too. "How will this be?" she asked, "since I am a virgin." As Gabriel continued to explain, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you. The power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God." I imagine Mary still had some questions, still had some uncertainty about what all this meant. But in the end, she chose to trust God's plan and God's messenger. In Luke 1:38, we read, "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May it be to me as you have said." Last week, we saw that Joseph chose to trust God in the midst of his heartache and pain. When Mary came to him with the story of the angel's appearance and of her somehow being pregnant by an act of God, it must have been devastating to Joseph. Though he loved Mary and had dreamed of what their life together might be, her story was just too much. In the end, he concluded divorcing her quietly was going to be best, though certainly still difficult, particularly for Mary and her child. And then he too was visited by an angel, this time in a dream. The angel addressed his concerns and confirmed that Mary's story was true, that her pregnancy was of God, and that he was to name the son to be born Jesus. No doubt Joseph was still torn up emotionally by everything he had previously assumed, but he too chose to trust God's plan and God's messenger. We read in Matthew 1:24, "When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife." Wow! Think of all the adjustments both Mary and Joseph had to make in order to continue to follow the plan of God. Mary must have had her ideas about what their life together would be like, and Joseph no doubt had his dreams too. As we said last week, sometimes God's plans are different than ours. Hello? Have you found that to be true? I don't know about you, but for me, sometimes that's not always easy to accept. I mean, if God loves me, why doesn't he just let my plans unfold the way that I've developed them? That's when real trust in God and his love and grace and compassion toward us is needed. Remember this, sometimes there is uncertainty, questions, heartache, and pain, even in the midst of trusting God. I don't always like that part of our faith journey, but I've learned it is part of it. So we shouldn't be surprised when there is suffering, in the midst of our trusting God. When we trust God in the midst of our hardships and struggles, His larger plan is fulfilled through us. That's what Mary and Joseph found out. After hearing from God and continuing their journey of faith together, is that when things got much better for Mary and Joseph? No, not really. Because in the midst of everything happening in their personal lives, the exalted ruler of the then world had decided that more money was needed to run his empire. And the initial step to be able to collect more taxes was to take a census of the people. And so that's what Caesar Augustus, the Roman emperor, did. He ordered a census to be taken in which everyone was to return to their hometown. Luke 2:1 reads, "In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. It meant that Joseph and Mary had to travel from Nazareth to Bethlehem, as Joseph belonged to the house and line of David. Just as Mary was nearing the due date of her son, they were making this trip. Yes, Joseph and Mary's trip to Bethlehem was not part of their new, easy life following the will and plan of God. Instead, there was struggle, post-struggle in the chat. It's not always easy trusting God in the midst of struggle. It wasn't easy for Joseph and Mary. It's not easy for us either. In the struggles of life, we experience hardship and pain. God, why am I having to go through these circumstances? God, why are people that I love and care about experiencing this? In the struggles of life, there are questions and doubts. God, why is this happening? Do you see us here, God? God, are you there? There's always the temptation in times of struggle to turn away from God rather than looking to God. And that's what many people do. Perhaps that's been part of your story, or you know someone for whom that's true. I have a lot of grace and compassion for people shipwrecked in their faith, shipwrecked on the side of the road, wounded and broken, shipwrecked in their faith because of their hardship or their struggle. Sometimes life is not easy. We Christ followers should understand that. Look at what happened to Jesus. But we can be there for people. We can be present with them because we know the one who came to earth and suffered to be present with us. Joseph and Mary made the extremely difficult trip, 90 miles from Nazareth to Bethlehem, because of the census, and it was a struggle. Yet, the census causing them to travel fulfilled an ancient prophecy from Micah 5:2. "But you, Bethlehem, Ephrathah, though you are small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come for me one who will be ruler over Israel, whose origins are from what? From of old, of ancient times." Though Joseph and Mary experienced tremendous hardship, the plan of God was unfolding. This passage and others like it from the Old Testament remind us of God's gracious hand in pointing the world to Jesus. Again, when we trust God in our hardships and struggles, His larger plan is fulfilled through us. When Mary and Joseph arrived in Bethlehem, it was time for her to deliver her baby. They had trusted God in the midst of their various challenges thus far, so this was yet another one. We simply read in Luke 2:7, "She gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn." Pregnant, ready to give birth, and no place to do so. How unimaginable must have that been for this young couple? They made their way to a stable, and that's where the Savior of the world was born. Jesus' birth in a common stable reminds us of the extent of God's love. Our Heavenly Father sent His Son into the world so that we could see the fullness of His love. He was born in the lowliest of places so we would know how far God is willing to go to reach each of us. When we think about their story, the odds are high that Joseph and Mary may have met someone who guided them to the stable where Jesus was born. It's certainly imaginable that someone could have helped the holy couple try to make their night more comfortable. Our earlier dramatic presentation of the innkeeper's son suggested his father had guided them to the stable and then helped them with what they needed. The innkeeper's sketch reminds us that God puts people in our path at just the right time to help. Amen? Often God brings everyday people in the midst of not-so-everyday occurrences to provide the help we need. And when it happens, aren't we thankful? A person shares a kind word. Someone else notices our need and tries to help. A young boy or girl opens a door. Another person gives us an assuring smile. Often the little things we do for one another have the most impact. If the innkeeper noticed this young couple and tried to help, it was probably an expression of something deeper inside of him. Living in Bethlehem, the city of David, he would no doubt have known God's call to care for the stranger and help persons in need. In that case, his faith in God would have compelled him to help when he encountered people like Mary and Joseph. Though he would have had no idea what Almighty God was doing at that moment by bringing our Savior into the world, he would be simply responding by putting his faith in action. It wasn't many years later that Jesus' brother, James, who had become the leader of the church in Jerusalem, would remind Christ followers everywhere of these simple words in his letter, James 2:17, when he said, "Faith by itself, if it is not accompanied by action, is dead." This simple but profound word from James is a good reminder to all of us during this Advent season. In the busyness of our lives, we want to continue to be open to our own opportunities to put our faith into action. Post action in the chat. It's one thing to have the life-changing power of Christ alive in our hearts and minds, and we are grateful for what that means in our lives, especially as we celebrate Jesus coming at Christmas. But what about the opportunities we have to care for the stranger or to help the person in need? We know that our Savior calls us to love God, yes, but also to love our neighbor as we love ourselves. When our faith is both demonstrated and proclaimed, something powerful takes place. Do you remember that kingdom that Isaiah the prophet spoke of? That one day would be established, a kingdom of justice and righteousness and peace? Well, get this. It has been established. Jesus came into our world to usher it in. That's what His birth, life, death, and resurrection were all about. He ushered in His everlasting kingdom. And every time we put our faith into action on behalf of someone in need, His kingdom has come. It has broken forth here on earth as it is in heaven. It has broken forth here on earth as it is in heaven. So put your faith into action this Christmas. Your small acts of compassion, love, and kindness to all show forth His kingdom here on earth. You bring forth His kingdom even now as you put your faith in action. Amen? Amen. Let's pray about that. Oh, Heavenly Father, Almighty God, gracious Lord, we give thanks for all we experience in our relationship with You. Love and grace, compassion, care for others. These are all things You build into our hearts as we seek and follow You. And it happens because of Your Son, Jesus. We glory in the story of His birth, life, death, and resurrection. He is the Anointed One who has come into the world to save us from our sins and establish justice, righteousness, and peace. O Lord, Mary and Joseph inspire us. They kept trusting You in the midst of their struggles. When we do the same, Your plan is fulfilled through us. Help us put our faith into action. As we do it in love and compassion toward others, we experience Jesus' kingdom here on earth. Oh, come among us, King Jesus, mighty God, wonderful Counselor, Prince of Peace. In His name we've prayed, and everyone said, Amen, Amen. Hey, if you want to visit with me about the message, I would love to hear from you. Let's talk. Maybe you'd say, I need Christ. I need the peace that Jesus brings. I want to experience His justice, His righteousness, His peace. If that's you, I'd encourage you to pray this simple prayer. Lord Jesus, I need You, Your life-changing power. I'm sorry for my sins. I believe that You died for me. Right now, I trust You as my Savior and receive Your Holy Spirit into my life. If you prayed that simple prayer, know this, you have been welcomed into God's family. What a great day for you, a great day for your family, for your friends. It impacts all of them too. So tell them, tell somebody about it. I'd like to hear from you too. You know, if you have prayer requests or praise reports, again, send them to us. We want to hear from you. Use the app or the website. And I say again, thank you for your generosity. Your giving is a tangible way to say thank God, to thank Him for His goodness. Go online, make a gift. Help us continue to reach others with the love and grace of Jesus. Be sure to take advantage of our discipleship opportunities and find all the information you need on our website, cumctulsa.com. Remember this, when we put our faith into action on behalf of people in need, in that moment, Jesus' kingdom has come. For now, how can you put your faith into action on behalf of someone in need and see His kingdom come?